And we're speaking today with Mary Renn Vaughn. She's the director of the theater program at the College of St. Scholastica, and she's joining us here to talk about theater on the radio. Good morning, Mary. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Chris. I'm doing really well.
It is such a beautiful time in summer, and I know that theaters go dark, and so I know that for most college programs, of course, especially, there's not a lot going on, but theater seems to be more and more popular, especially in this town, but I've noticed, too, that musicals have been kind of re-emerging. It doesn't feel quite like a golden era of musicals like we had in the 40s to the 60s, but things are really happening on Broadway. And you and I were talking about Hamilton today because it's such an amazing phenomenon, the way this musical has taken hold.
It really is. And it's just, I don't remember in my lifetime anything really being this huge. I mean, Cats kind of touched it because it was new and, you know, people were like, there's cats dancing and singing, but Hamilton has just grabbed people's imagination.
Yeah.
My family will tell you I've been obsessed with the musical. Tried to get tickets, haven't been able to. It's new and innovative in that I think it's crossing generations. I mean, I'm a woman in my 50s, and I love it, and I never would have thought I would have. It's hip-hop, it's rap, two things that I generally don't gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
I love the story. I mean, I spent the time picking apart the soundtrack and checking facts, and it was amazing that everything I checked was actually real. It happened.
You know, people see the $10 bill. Some of them may understand or remember from their high school history classes the whole idea of federalism versus more an agrarian economy. And either from that or from the Got Milk commercial back in the 90s, the Hamilton Aaron Burr duel.
Right.
And just, these are sort of the touchstones, but really understanding the deeper story of it. Is it because Lin-Manuel Miranda is using hip hop to talk about what is probably a very un-hip hop kind of person, an economist and a government official from the early 1800s? Doesn't seem to be the immediate story you'd think of in that. I think about the phenomenon of Rent back in 20 years ago in Broadway, that took hold, but it really was, as you said just a minute ago, very generational. It spoke to the 20-somethings.
Right.
But this is really grabbing kids as much as people in their 60s and 70s. It's just something that's very exciting. Is it because of the blend? What is the grab here? Why is it such an appeal?
I think there's a lot of things at play. Part of it is Lin-Manuel's personality. I mean, we talked about this briefly, too. He's out there. He tweets all the time. He's on Facebook. He's on every news show you can imagine. He's on all the late shows. And he's a warm, genuine-seeming person. And so I think that kind of gets people interested. What is this guy doing? This is really kind of, he sounds like a really cool guy. And then the more you look into it and the more you learn the story, he talks about, he read the source material, a biography about Alexander Hamilton. And as he read it, he said he could hear the hip-hop in his head. And that it was just the story about the revolution, and that hip hop is the music for a revolution. And so to him, it made perfect sense. He couldn't believe no one else had done it. And so he started to write it. And
I can't believe nobody's written a hip hop musical about Alexander Hamilton.
Really? Yeah, exactly.
It's so
the
obvious.
Guy on the bill. What? One of the really cool things I think that speaks to especially the younger generations is the diversity that he uses in the cast, in that he says he's telling America's story, America's birth story, with how America looks now. And so, for example, George Washington is played by an African-American, and so is Aaron Burr. And his lineage, he plays Alexander Hamilton, and his lineage is Puerto Rican. And so he has this whole diversity of people, and You don't even think about it, that they don't look like the people on the money.
Mm. But, of course, the people on the money were the ruling class, essentially. Though I realize classism is something that America has tried to shed over the years.
Right.
But it certainly was the case. And there were many races here at the time. You just don't see them on the bills.
Exactly.
We have Harriet Tubman coming up on the 20 sometime soon. I know we had Sacagawea on a dollar coin. But people of other races, though they were certainly there in plenty numbers, that really it was a different story. And so it's great that I think that's a very interesting idea, that you are really saying, you know, there are a lot of people there and they're all capable of telling this story then and now.
Right, exactly. The clips that I have seen, which is my only access so far to it, It is done so well. It's a great blending of the storytelling and the music and the choreography, and I have not seen anything like it. And like I said, I'm obsessed, and my family laughs at me all the time.
But you know, it didn't break the record, but I recall the producers from a decade back. But it certainly took a lot of Tonys a few weeks ago.
11, the record's 12, and so it had the potential to break it. It could have won 13, but Lights didn't quite make it, and lead actress.
Is it told in a linear fashion, or is it vignettes back and forward in time in his life?
It's mostly told in a forward progression.
Okay,
there is one flashback scene. And it really only goes back like a few weeks. It's the telling of his relationship, his romance with his wife. And it's from her sister's perspective, because he had a romance with Elizabeth Schuyler. And then he had an intellectual relationship with her sister, Angelica. And that a lot of that is told through actual words of the letters that they exchanged, because Angelica ended up moving to London. And so they had this exchange throughout their lives of letters. Because, of course, people wrote letters then.
They did.
Yeah. Not emails and tweets. And
Right. I think about the 1776, the musical, and there are a lot of letters between Adams and his wife. And that same idea of
absolutely.
You can, and it's because it's a direct connection, too. You know, you're not bending the truth. You've got the text right there. They're actual words. So,
and Lin-Manuel Miranda did a lot of that, pulling the actual text out and putting it into the story.
Now, because it's hip-hop, I think about freestyle rap, which he's certainly known for doing, Lin-Manuel Miranda, but because he does have some definite texture, because it's a musical, I'm not sure. Are there moments in the show where there's a bit of freestyle that can happen, or is it pretty tightly scripted?
It's pretty tightly scripted. I don't think there's actually any freestyle, but there are moments that feel like freestyle. So they do, there's a couple cabinet battles that are set up to be like a freestyle rap back and forth competition between Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton, because they were known enemies. And so they battled often as one was Secretary of State, one was Secretary of Treasury for Washington. And so they would battle it out in cabinet meetings all the time. And so he wrote those with a sort of freestyle rap thing happening. See, that's something I never thought I would say in my life, that I would know anything about freestyle rap.
But it really works well, and freestyle rap does have a certain flow to it, but it also has occasionally trying to rhyme, but certainly letters and probably the cabinet transcriptions don't, they're not speaking in poetic rhyme of any kind. So he's probably bending the text a little bit to make it more vivacious, but it's certainly interesting that you can take something that is very specific ideas, very specific arguments, and put them into this context. So,
yeah. Well, and Hamilton was so eloquent in his writings that you can pull things out and still make the rhyme and the pattern and everything work, and yet you're still using his own words. They talk about this in the musical. He wrote like he was running out of time. He wrote thousands and thousands and thousands of things that outlived him. I mean, he was always worried about his legacy. And they touch on that, too, and they talk about how he's an immigrant, and he's the story of an immigrant, and how that's part of America's story. And so they touch on a lot of things that are really relevant right now.
Sure. The continued renewal that happens with every generation and every new group of people that comes to this country. Well, as you say, though, it's really a phenomenon. It's hard to get tickets. And it's a show that right now is on Broadway, and it is such a... Well, it's kind of a cult of personality. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda and his team that they've built this show, I don't know if it would work without him. So I'm trying to figure out if there would ever be traveling productions. They usually have two or three that move. Oh, already?
There are, yeah. Well, first, the long-running show in Chicago opens in September. So they're already selling tickets. They just started selling tickets to that this week.
Huh.
And then they're starting a touring group in California in the spring, I think. And it will be in London on the West End next fall. The fall of 17. It'll be in London. And Lin-Manuel Miranda is actually leaving July 9th. It's his last show. So he's leaving, and the guy who's playing Aaron Burr, Leslie Odom Jr., and Philippa Sue, who plays Elizabeth Schuyler, his wife, those three are all leaving July 9th because their contracts are up. So there will be new people stepping in on July, I think, 11th is the next show. But the guy who's stepping in as Hamilton has been playing Hamilton every Sunday.
Okay.
So he's been doing two shows a week pretty much since the beginning.
So he's been groomed for the part pretty much.
Right, and Lin-Manuel Miranda says they created it together because they did previews and everything together to find Hamilton together. So he's 100% behind this guy stepping in.
Oh, that's great.
I wish I could remember his name.
Well, I think about the producers, that Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick in the leads. It seemed like such a perfect pairing, and in retrospect, obvious cast choices for that show. And you thought, well, who could possibly replace them? How can the show survive? But it kept going. The same way Chicago kept going.
Yeah, they rotated people in and out of that show all the time.
It's been a revolving door for two decades for a lot of people, but a great show that apparently has legs without the original stars. So
exactly.
I guess Hamilton, we can hope for the same.
And that, I mean, that the show is really, really well written. I mean, that's one of the things I'm so impressed with, is just the strength of the writing. So, I mean, I think you get the right person in there. There's no reason why it shouldn't keep going.
You can't beat good material.
Exactly.
Well, that's great. I wish you luck in finding tickets sometime soon, whether it's Chicago or whether you're making a trip to New York to see it. But you can certainly just say to your classes in the fall, sorry, guys, I got to go to New York today. I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week. No problem.
Excellent.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
Sure. I don't blame you a bit. Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
Take care. Marianne Vaughn is the director of the theater program at the College of St. Scholastica. She joins us this morning to talk about theater on the radio. Radio Theater, Fridays at 8:30 on Northland Morning. Right, sorry, at 8 o'clock. Supported in part by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.